It's good to see several visitors here this morning. Good to have you here. And let's look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. The gospel writer Luke records, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," this is talking about the Lord Jesus, "when the Lord Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let us pray as we begin. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that it is to once again look into your word this morning. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us into truth, that you would convict us, challenge us, encourage us. Lord, we pray that you would continue your work in our lives even this morning. We thank you that you've promised that you will continue your good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would continue it even through this time in your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So, some of you know that I have been here since the end of May. I've been a summer intern, and then just recently, the last couple weeks, the church has been able to extend that internship, and thanks to the generosity of many families in this church. But part of my new responsibilities, since I'll be staying on here, is I'm taking over the administrative assistant role, which is a big term for secretary. And that really worked out well because Abby just moved to Michigan, is moving today, and so it worked out well. It was a good transition time. This last week, she's been basically letting me do all the work, and she's been overseeing me and training me. So that is one of my new responsibilities. And as part of that responsibility, I get the privilege, responsibility, of opening some of the church's mail. And this week, we got a piece of mail from someone, and included in that piece of mail was just a random piece of U.S. history on a note that she sent. I'm going to read that story to you. It's about former U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Here's the story. Roosevelt often endured long receiving lines at the White House. As the story is told, he complained that no one paid attention to what was said. So he decided to experiment at a reception. To everyone who passed down the line and shook his hand, he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. God bless you, sir." But the vast majority of the guests were not actually listening to what President Roosevelt was saying. Like President Franklin D. Roosevelt, each of us desires to be heard. We want others to listen when we speak to them. But more than that, when we pray to the Lord, we want the Lord to listen to us, and we want him to act on our behalf. We want to be effective in our prayers. And we're not the only ones who have this desire. Here in Luke chapter 11, we see that the closest followers of Jesus Christ had this very same desire. They asked the Lord to teach them to pray. They felt, like we sometimes feel, that they were deficient in their knowledge of how to pray. So they asked the one, the only one who truly knows how to pray. So here is what I'd like for us to look at this morning. This, when we leave here this afternoon, we must learn from the Lord how to pray. But how can we today be students of the Lord? How can we learn from Him how to pray? How can we be students in this critical matter of prayer? From these four verses, we're going to see three steps to learning from the Lord how to pray. And the first step that we see is that we must observe His example of prayer. Look at verse 1 with me again. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. But notice there that it was as He was praying in a certain place. It was while He was praying. They observed His example of prayer. Jesus Christ was spending time with His Heavenly Father. And His disciples knew what He was doing. We don't know if they could actually see Him from where they were, or if they just knew what He had gone to do, that He had gone to pray. But whatever the case, they knew that He was praying. You know, that shows us something about the Lord Jesus. That's this fact. He didn't hide the fact that He was praying. And on the other side of that coin, not only did He not hide the fact that He was praying, but it doesn't seem that He flaunted it either. He didn't necessarily come around and say, hey, I'm going to pray, pay attention. But He just went to pray, and they could observe that. He simply prayed. Now, that's an important principle for us to keep in mind, that people need to be able to see that we are doing that which is honoring to the Lord. People should be able to see that you pray. They should be able to see that you read the Word of God. If you're a father or a mother here this morning, your children should know that you pray. They should be able to catch you praying somewhere in the house at some point. If you're a boss or a supervisor at your company, your employees should know that you pray. They should know that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a cousin named John, and he owns a framing company up in Canada. And every day, before they begin work, he gathers his crew together, and they have a time of prayer. And this is a crew that's made up at least somewhat, at least half of his crew are not believers. But he has that testimony that he gathers them together for prayer. They know that he is a man who prays. They can observe him as he prays to the Lord. So Jesus' disciples were just observers at this point. They were watching how Jesus prayed to His Father. And I want for us to make some observations this morning about the prayer life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 23. This is one observation that we can make about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 14, verse 23. The Bible says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." So what is one observation we can make? Well, the Lord Jesus generally prayed alone. But let's look at some more observations that we can make. And turn with me over to the book of Luke. Back to the book of Luke, chapter 9. We see that he didn't always pray alone. He did sometimes. That was his general practice, but wasn't his constant practice. He sometimes prayed in groups with just a few people. Luke 9, verse 28. It says, "And it came to pass after about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray." So this is the account of the transfiguration. But the point that I want to bring out here is that he took others with him to pray. So he sometimes prayed in a group. We see that he even prayed with all of his disciples at one point in John chapter 17. We won't turn there, but in that prayer, sometimes called Jesus' high priestly prayer, the Lord Jesus prayed with his disciples. Let's make some other observations. If you would, turn with me over to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And as we make these observations, just in the back of your mind be thinking, if you were a disciple, you would have been observing these things firsthand. You would have known that he sometimes went alone to pray, that he sometimes prayed with his disciples. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." We see again that he's alone. But we also see that he rose up early in the morning. Now, by making these observations, I'm not saying that we are necessarily required, when we pray, to get up at, say, 4 or 5 in the morning to go pray. But when you observe how he prayed, it gives you an idea of what the priority of prayer was in his life. So we see that he sometimes prayed early in the morning. And then one last observation before we move on, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "And it came to pass in those days that he," being Jesus Christ, "went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." So here we see that he spent an entire night in prayer. I'm guessing, I might be wrong, but I'm guessing that most of us haven't done that. Maybe a few in the room have. But he spent an entire night in prayer. And notice in verse 13, what was right after his prayer? That was when he went to choose his disciples. So we have the example that he gave us of before you make some big decision, spend time in prayer. So this is the first step in being a student or a disciple of the Lord. We must observe his example of prayer. And there's really a broader principle that could be brought out here. The first step in being a student of the Lord in any area, not just in prayer, but in any area of life, is to observe his example. If we desire to become more like him, and that's what the Lord desires of us, that we become more like Jesus Christ, then we must observe him in every area of life. But in particular, we must observe his example of prayer. So that's the first step to learning from the Lord how to pray. But let me show you a second step. Step number two, we must seek to know how to pray. Second step to learning how to pray is to seek to know how to pray. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 11. Our primary text this morning, Luke chapter 11, and look again with me at verse 1. Luke chapter 11, and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So the disciples had observed on multiple occasions that their Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a man of prayer. They had observed his prayer life, observed his example of prayer. So they wanted to know more. They wanted to know how to pray. Have any of you heard of the song, it's a hymn, Teach Me to Pray? Anyone here heard of that hymn? Two, maybe? Three? It's really based on this passage, I believe. It's written by a Baptist pastor named Albert Simpson Wrights. Hear the words. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. And here's the refrain. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free. Power with men and power with thee. Second verse says, power in prayer, Lord. Power in prayer. Here, mid earth's sin and sorrow and care. Men lost and dying, souls in despair. Oh, give me power, power in prayer. And the last verse reads, teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Thou art my pattern, day unto day. Thou art my surety, now and for aye. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn based on this text. The disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I think if you or if I had been there with the Lord Jesus and we had observed his example of prayer, I think we would have had the same request. We would have said, Lord, teach us to pray. But I wonder today if we even care. Do we even recognize that we are deficient in the matter of prayer? Do we yearn, do we long to pray as our Lord prayed? You and I must seek to know how to pray. This is the second step in becoming a disciple or a student of Jesus Christ. We not only observe his life, and how he prayed. But then we seek to become like him in the matter of prayer. And like I said, this is much broader than just the matter of prayer. This is a principle of discipleship. That after you've observed how they do it, then you should want to know more. You should want to know how to live your life like the Lord. How to be Christ-like in your life and in your actions. But we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ here present physically with us. So we can't go up to him and ask him directly in person, teach us to pray. But we can study God's word. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his illuminating work, we can search the scriptures and we can seek to know how to pray from what God has recorded for us. God can still teach us through his word. So we've seen that we must observe the Lord's example of prayer. We must seek to know how to pray. Let me give you a third, final step. We must heed his instruction on prayer. The book of James says we must not only be hearers of the word, but we must be doers also. It's not enough to just know what God desires. It's not enough to just seek to know how to pray, but then we must pray. We must heed what he has instructed us to do. Look at verse 2 with me. Beginning verse 2, reading down through verse 4. And he said unto them, we should be still in Luke chapter 11, beginning verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So it's not enough to just observe. It's not enough just to seek. But then we must do. We must heed what he has instructed us to do. And the first requirement, the first thing that we must heed is simply to pray. If you're going to pray a certain way, you have to start by praying. But the second thing that we must do is that we must pray as he instructed us to pray. Now, I don't think that the Lord's Prayer is something that we necessarily recite verbatim, word for word, that is the prayer that we pray. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with praying the prayer if you mean what you're saying. But it is a pattern that we should follow. We can learn from this pattern. I'd like for us to make a few observations about this model prayer that the Lord Jesus gave us. Look at verse 2. See how he begins the prayer. He says, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. So Jesus taught his disciples to pray to the Father. Now that might not seem like a big issue to you, but there are many people that pray to someone other than the Father. And I don't want to sound nitpicky, but it bothers me when people regularly pray to the Lord Jesus or to the Holy Spirit, because the pattern that we've been given is to pray to the Father. That doesn't mean that we cannot sometimes pray to the Lord Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. We have examples, two or three examples in Scripture of prayers or requests made to the Lord Jesus. So I'm not saying that we can never do that. But what we have been commanded to do, the example that we've been given, is to pray to our Heavenly Father. A couple of those examples, praying to the Lord Jesus, I'll just mention them briefly. One is at the end of the book of John, where John says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." We could call that a prayer. There's another one, the end of 1 Corinthians, where he says, in the King James, it's the word Maranatha. Now, I'm partial to that word because I went to a school called Maranatha. But the word Maranatha means, O Lord, come. So again, that could be a prayer to the Lord Jesus. We also have the example of when the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus spoke to him, revealed himself to him, and Paul responded, talked to the Lord Jesus. But by and large, the example of the New Testament is to pray to the Heavenly Father. And I think that should be our general practice as well. And that does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit don't have roles to play in prayer, because they do. It is the Lord Jesus who gives us the authority to pray to the Father. That's why we often conclude our prayers in Jesus' name, amen. What we are saying is, I am coming to you by the authority of Jesus Christ. It's because of him that I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And the Holy Spirit also has a role. The Holy Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray. This book of Romans chapter 8 tells us. But generally, our prayer should be to the Father. But let's look at another observation here. Verse 2, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Jesus taught his disciples to put God's honor first in their prayers. Now, I don't know that it necessarily has to be first in order, but being first in order indicates that it's first in priority, that God's honor is more important than what I'm coming to the Lord, my needs, what I think that I want from the Lord. His honor is more important. It's about half of his prayer is about the Lord getting the honor, the Lord's will being done, the Lord's kingdom coming. It's about the Lord. It's not about us. I wonder, how often do we seek the Lord's honor as the first thing that we do when we pray? Or are we usually, when we pray, is our first reason to go to prayer is because I need something. I want something from the Lord, so I'm going to pray. Well, that's not the example that the Lord Jesus gave us. That's not the pattern that he gave us. We come to him to ask for him to be glorified, for him to be honored, to be exalted, to be lifted up, for his will to be accomplished. And then a couple other observations. To balance out that observation, Jesus did teach his disciples to pray for mundane things. Give us this day, let's see, how does it say? Give us day by day our daily bread. That is perfectly fine to pray for. To pray for the Lord to provide for your needs. And a final observation, Jesus taught his disciples to pray for forgiveness and spiritual victory. Look at verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So this is the pattern that the Lord has given us, the prayer that he's given us to be a pattern for our prayers. But as I mentioned earlier, this pattern of prayer and this observation of how the Lord prayed and the disciples seeking how to pray, there's a broader application here than just prayer. And that is the matter of discipleship in general. If we want to become like Christ, we need to observe him in His Word. Observe Him. And then we need to seek to be more like Him. And then we need to heed what He has instructed us to do. And we find that pattern, that the instructions, the example, we find all of that in God's Word. That is the record that we have for our instruction. But we also find it in a rather remarkable place. We find it in other people. If a believer is following Jesus Christ themselves, then the Lord calls us to follow that believer, as well as following Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So as a believer is following Christ, then we need to follow that believer. Now, we can't follow every believer, but we should be following. There should be someone that we are looking to who's following Christ that we can then follow. And there's a flip side to that. If we are looking for someone to follow, that means that there needs to be someone who's setting the example. There needs to be someone who's willing to answer our questions. Someone who's willing to instruct us and that we are willing to listen to. And turn with me, if you would. I believe this is our last passage this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. There is a call. There is an obligation for believers to be that example, to be that one who others can follow. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul, writing to his son in the faith, young Timothy, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So when you have understood what God wants of you, what He desires you to do in life, then you need to pass that on to others. You need to be that example for others to follow. So being a student of Christ requires that we follow Christ, that we learn from Him. And particularly this morning, we must learn from the Lord how to pray. We must observe His example of prayer. We must seek to know how to pray. And we must heed His instruction on prayer. So may the Lord help us to be those men, those women who are men and women of prayer, who are setting the example and who are following Jesus Christ. And may our prayer, like the disciples, be, "Lord, teach us to pray."